We are going to move up to number 14. We have the Highway 44 Platte Winter Bridge Project Update, and I know we have Adams joining us via Zoom this morning. And Adam, when we see you up there, you can begin when you are ready.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me?
We can, yes.
Okay, I will share my screen here. Everyone see my screen okay?
No.
How about now?
No.
Nothing.
Can I just do it? I'll just do it, Adam.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Well, good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. My name is Adam Kloss. I'm the Planning and Development Administrator for the Parks Division, and I'm going to be providing a couple short PowerPoints, the first of which will be an update on the Highway 44 Bridge project. Highway 44 Bridge, located between Platte and Winter in South Central South Dakota. Thank you, Chris. And this project started several years ago with some investigation on the quality of the bridge and the need to take a look at replacing it. And so I'll start with a little bit of bridge history here. This is a photo of the bridge looking from east to west, right at our Snake Creek Recreation Area. And on the north side of the road, we have our boat ramp and concessionaire facilities. And then on the south side of the highway, we have our campground. This bridge was finished back in 1966, and there was some major work done on it in the late 80s and late 90s due to some environmental factors that caused some damage. Next slide, please, Chris. A little bit about the project background. I don't think it's any surprise that when you're talking about something in this size and scale, that it's been moved on better part of a decade now that this bridge, replacement of this bridge was taken a look at. And so back in 2016, the Department of Transportation completed a major bridge investment study on this particular bridge. And the results of that, I'm confident in that were determination that, you know, that this bridge needs to be replaced. And so that kicks off the process of, okay, if the bridge is going to be replaced, you know, how do we exactly do that? And the Department of Transportation hired a consultant firm by the name of H.R. Green. And H.R. Green performed what's called a corridor study for the Department of Transportation, a kind of look at alternatives, look at other environmental, geotechnical, safety, economical reasons for determining what is the least impactful way that the bridge can be replaced. Next slide, please. And the result of that was the determination that the best place to relocate the bridge was slightly north of the existing location, which unfortunately for us, caused a lot of impacts directly related to the Snake Creek Recreation Area. And to go in a little bit more detail of some of those bigger highlighted items for us, the impact for us, they're numerous. We've got just north of the highway, we've got our work camper sites, volunteer folks that help the park operate smoothly. We've got our maintenance facility with three separate buildings. We've got our park residents. We've got our entrance station, electronic kiosk. We've got our dump station, which are all direct targets of this new highway alignment. And so when that corridor study was completed and this area was determined on the least impactful of where it's going to go, it really kicked off the process from DOT standpoint to start working with the department on, okay, this is where the new highway alignment is selected to go. And now we need to start the mitigation process with Game Fish and Parks because, where the new highway alignment is going to go is going to affect several different areas in the recreation area. And I would say, you know, secondarily, you know, there's going to be other impacts within this recreation as well. I mean, this project is very large in scale and scope, and it's going to take multiple years, and there's going to be some inconveniences. And I think the hope is here that we consistently keep this place open, as this boat ramp and recreation area are one of the most popular places in the state along the Missouri River. And the continued coordination and communication with the Department of Transportation will be very vital. Next slide, please. So I kind of wanted to give an update on kind of where we are at today. Like I said, this has been going on for better part of a decade, but it's getting much closer to having some activity really happening here. And so H.R. Green was hired as part of their corridor study and review to also take care of the environmental analysis and assessment portion of this. And so DOT kind of hired them to take care of that portion of it, which is a very large portion of it. And that portion entails several years of doing surveys and research and studies and those kinds of things. And I'm happy to report that, you know, I think we're getting very close to having all of that buttoned up with H.R. Green. Again, a very long process, but we're getting very close to that. And we're looking at just getting the final approvals from both Corps of Engineers, Fed Highways, and other agencies that, you know, can sign off on everything so that we can start having some groundbreaking activities happening. One thing specifically between Game Fish and Parks and Department of Transportation is we're getting very close to having a joint powers agreement and relocation agreements signed. Just to go into those a little bit in more detail, the joint powers agreement is basically outlining a lot of the terms between Game Fish and Parks and South Dakota Department of Transportation on how the mitigation is going to happen and what the timelines are like, and setting guardrails on those kinds of things so that we're both in the know of what's going to happen and what our expectations are. Also, what's happening right now is the design of the residence and shop relocation areas. So what's really going to happen here is it's kind of going to be broken into a couple different phases. And so the current phase that's being worked on right now is a design of the civil portion, which is some dirt work, also utility work, and then the structures. And so between the South Dakota Department of Transportation and Game Fish and Parks, we've kind of decided that the first phase is going to be to take care of designing those kinds of things and getting those taken care of before the larger bridge replacement project takes place. Also part of that, we've come to an agreement with Department of Transportation that we're going to be taking the new dump station off-site in the direct area, and the Game Fish and Parks is going to be taking care of that portion of it. Next slide, please. So I wanted to touch a little bit on, you know, those major areas that were affected and kind of give a visual here of what that might look like here when we're actually kind of complete with the project. And so thank you to my staff to put together this map for us to take a look at. And the circled areas are the current facilities that are going to be affected or changed in the relocation process. And so, again, I mentioned that we're camper sites, park residents, the park shop complex, dump station, and then the fish cleaning station. And then the triangles are indicating where those facilities will be placed after the project is done. And so you can see there that between the boat ramp area and the existing shop complex residence is the location that we've got selected for the residence to be put. And then further to the east, we've got the current overlook area is where the shop complex is going to be placed. And then slightly north of there is where we intend on placing our work camper sites. And then much farther to the east, several miles, in fact, over on the West Platte game production area is the site that we selected to move the fish cleaning and dump stations. And the main reason for that was there was just not a lot of good spots within the area of a potential effect to be able to put that type of facility in there to not only take into account the traffic flow into the area and other things, but to take in other things into account that we've got many challenges in this area in general with how busy it is with congestion and those kinds of things. And so it was determined by our department working with our wildlife division that we selected a spot that just off the highway that we think would be very small impacts to the game production area, that we can get some of that congestion from the recreation area out away from there and have a really nice facility there that users can enjoy and not have the frustration of some congestion. And so again, that's why that area was selected over to the east. Next slide, please. So I want to touch a little bit on what's going to happen next here. So once we get all of those documents signed, OSC, the Office of State Engineering, is planning on completing the design plans for the civil work, the utilities, the residents, and the shop complex, and get those things out to bid. GFMP plans to manage the design of the design and construction of the dump station and the work camper sites. And then we'll be asking the local staff there to start the relocation process. So as soon as things are ready to go, we'll be able to have our staff start moving items from the shop and other things to start that process. And so we have a smooth transition into our new facilities. Next slide, please. So I want to touch on the tentative schedule. The civil utilities, shop complex, residents, those things are planned on getting out to bid and starting construction this year in the fall. And the completion date for those tentatively right now is scheduled for the following year, summer or early fall. The dump station, fish cleaning station, our plan is to get that project under contract with a consultant and have design plans ready so that we can start going on construction next spring with the fall of 24 completion date. The Highway 44 bridge construction will start subsequently slightly after kind of that first phase of options is done, and to the best knowledge that we have right now, DOT is still kind of shooting for that late 24, early 25. And with the size and scope of this project, this project is going to take several years to from the first shovel that goes into the ground until completion, including the removal of the existing bridge. Next slide, please. I just wanted to share a rendering from HR Green here of kind of what the future bridge will kind of look like. And I think important to note is that on the west side of the river, it's fairly close to the existing bridge. And then there's a small widening gap as it works towards the east. And so this rendering kind of maybe gives a little bit of a focal point on what the future bridge alignment might look like. And that puts into maybe some context on, yep, that new highway alignment does really go into the heart of those existing facilities that we have right now. And that's why we're faced with what we're faced with right now, which is continued coordination with the Department of Transportation. And I really want to thank everyone involved from our team and the Department of Transportation. This has been a long process, and we've got a long ways to go yet. I personally have been in contact with dozens and dozens of people from both our agency and other state agencies. And, what we want to try to do is really get out in front of this for our users and communicate with them very thoroughly on the impacts of what's going to happen here in the recreation area. But the intent is to keep the recreation area open the entire time this is going on. A good way to do that is to have our facilities up and running prior to that main bridge project being worked on, and so that we can operationally continue to work out of that recreation area and provide the services that we currently offer at that area for the public. And with that, Madam Chair, I take any questions.
Very good. Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, on the funding for this, is those GFMP funds, or since this is the DOT that's making this happen, is funding through them for all the relocation and rebuilding of the GFMP properties?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner, for the question. Yes, we part of that joint powers agreement and the relocation agreements are kind of defining the terms with those kinds of things. But to answer your question specifically, yes, the DOT is making us whole on all of the the impacted areas. And and part of that joint powers agreement, we've got language written in there that says, if we're going to go above and beyond anything that we had before, that GF&P is going to agree to pay for the difference. And so when the project gets put out to bid, there are items that we've got listed out in that joint powers agreement of small things that we wanted to change that are kind of above and beyond. And those will be covered by GF&P expenses. But otherwise, everything is going to be covered by Department of Transportation expenses.
Very good. Commissioner Bartlin.
Commissioner Bartlin here. Thank you for your presentation. I do have a question on the west side of the bridge. There's a boat dock access area. And with the change on that highway, will GF&P have to put a little change into that access to get to that boat ramp?
Through the chair.
Yes, please.
Thank you for the question, Commissioner. We have been talking about that with the Department of Transportation, and we haven't finalized all the details on that yet, but we intend to still have the West Bridge area access. We're talking with the Department of Transportation on possibly leaving some of that existing highway alignment to help facilitate a driveway and a parking for that area. And so the intent right now is to, that will still be in function after the bridge has been replaced.
Very good. Adam, this is Commissioner Risley. Just a question, when the bids go out, how does that process work? Is it the same process that all state government uses? Can you just explain what that will look like?
Sure, Madam Chair. I think it'll be very similar. You know, the Department of Transportation, when they're dealing with these larger projects, it maybe doesn't mimic what we would handle on a year-to-year basis. The scale of this project alone, with it being so large, there may be some specifics that they may do differently. But yes, I think in general, it will follow all the state requirements and guidelines that will be a competitive bid process for that portion of it. And much like our contracts, there will be a completion date, staggered completion timelines on some goals that they want to accomplish throughout the project. And then again, the end date of finishing the existing bridge, opening it, the new bridge and opening the new bridge and then taking down the old bridge.
All right, very good. Any other questions from the commission? All right, thank you, Adam. We appreciate the update and the information. Now I have you down for number 15 as well. We'll get an update on the Newell and Alvin Dam repair. So whenever you are ready or when Chris has it up, you guys go ahead and start.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Chris, if you can get that PowerPoint pulled up, thank you. So again, thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling. We want to provide a quick update on where we're at with Newell Lake and Lake Alvin Dams. Next slide, please, Chris. So I'm going to start with Newell Lake. This is a 154-acre approximately impoundment up in the northwestern side of the state. And back in 2019, this was damaged, and that started the process of us taking a look at what are we going to do to make repairs or a replacement on this project. And so that process with FEMA, as this was a FEMA eligible declaration area, we started to look at things. And with FEMA, they look at things as returning them to pre-disaster. And so what that really means is that they'll cover up to an expense of, again, just repairing the structure to what it was before the damage occurred. And so with this structure and with Lake Alvin, the department kind of determined, okay, well, if we're going to stick that kind of money into a repair into an old structure, maybe we're better off maybe taking that money and putting it towards a replacement structure. And so that's what we determined to do on both Newell Lake and Lake Alvin. Next slide, please. And so we got the New Lake project under contract this last summer, and the contractor has been working very diligently through late summer, fall, and into this winter. And the site conditions and weather are providing very challenging conditions for our folks, but they are continuing to work very diligently on this. We did have a completion date set in March. And that is being pushed back several months due to the challenging conditions and the winter weather that we had over the past several months here. But Things are looking good. I've spoke with our local engineering staff here, and you know, we're more than two-thirds done with all the concrete pouring, and so the contractor will continue to work very diligently on getting the rest of the concrete poured, getting the backfilling done, and coming to a substantial completion, hopefully sometime in June. That's the updated schedule that we've got from the contractor. And so, not a lot of really impacts to the public here. The change between finishing this in March versus June, the lake was drawn down several feet with the former low-level outlet structure being compromised. And so the lake levels are very low right now. And even with the spring runoff, no extra challenges there for the contractor. And so they're going to, again, continue to work very diligently on getting this project completed. Next slide, please. I have a few pictures to share of kind of the updates here within the last couple of weeks of how things are going. Next slide, please. And again, the site conditions, very difficult here with the type of soils and some of the winter conditions that we had. But again, contractor working very diligently to try to get this project to completion. Next slide, please. Just a different angle of kind of what it looks like, and the contractors continuing to work on those things. Next slide. Okay, a little bit more on Lake Alvin. Lake Alvin's approximately 105-acre impoundment. And much like Newell Lake back in 2019, we had some damage, and that started the process with FEMA and the ultimate decision to, instead of taking that money for a repair, that we would take that money and put it towards a replacement project. Next slide, please. And so kind of where we're at with this particular project is we're still in the engineering phase of this. The design process is nearly complete. We are looking at getting some final survey work done this spring so that we can get the final sign off from FEMA on moving forward. And the intent right now is if we can get that sign off from FEMA here shortly this spring, that we intend to try to get this project kicked out for bids this summer for a fall winter time construction with the completion date prior to the major spring runoff in 2024. Next slide, please. And like I mentioned, we're at the final hours of the design phase of this. And here's a snip image of kind of what we'd be looking at. Again, this is a full the main spillway replacement. There's going to be some significant dirt work being done. But again, these designs are meant to, have a facility that lasts for decades to come. And there are, new standards that that these spillways need to be designed at. And so very thankful to our engineering firm consultant on putting together these plans and having them ready to go so that hopefully we can get this project kicked off as soon as possible. Next slide, please. I wanted to touch a little bit on the cost of these projects. There's a significant amount of time and energy that goes into these projects, and rightly so. We want to, we want to have these things last for a long time. And so it's very important that we do a great job up front of doing what's right. And so we can manage the area. And then also both of these impoundments are getting a low level outlet structure installed in them from a fisheries management standpoint. So that will allow our wildlife fisheries staff to be able to do some unique management type of things with that low level outlet, being able to potentially reduce down the lake levels at times to help in some kind of habitat type enhancements that are going on at those particular locations. A little bit on the cost. Right now at with Newell Lake, we're probably somewhere in that $2.75 to $3.25 million range when it's all said and done to complete that project. And with the latest plans that we got from Barr Engineering on the design for Lake Alvin, we're looking at somewhere between $4.5 and $5.5 million to complete the construction of that structure. Lake Alvin also has a design and oversight estimate cost of approximately $400,000 when we get to the portion of hiring a consultant engineering firm to provide oversight while the construction is going on. And how we're going to pay for this, we're going to be utilizing the FEMA money that was scheduled to again go towards that that the cost to return the facilities into pre-disaster conditions. And then thankfully last year in the legislative session, Senate Bill 67 provided a really needed shot in the arm for us at $5.6 million to put towards these two projects so that we can see them to completion and have facilities that can be enjoyed for decades to come and allow our staff to be able to manage those two particular impoundments much better and hope to avoid any other future damage on those facilities and be able to manage water flows that come into those areas appropriately. Next slide, please. Leaving you with the completed structure from Mina Lake. Mina Lake was done here just recently, and this may be a little indication of what hopefully New Lake and Lake Alvin will look like upon completion. You know, the sizes may be differently, but this is just an indication of all the hard work that goes into these things and provides a little bit of context to, you know, again, what we hope to have for a final product on these two significant water bodies in South Dakota. And with that, Madam Chair, I take any questions.
Very good. Any questions from the commission? Commissioner White.
Commissioner White here. Working with FEMA, a lot of times when a dam is compromised in this particular situation, they come in with recommendations for there's funds to be used. Sometimes the dam has to be raised because of the compromise. Are they signing off on the use of these funds if we aren't using them to the capacity of what their original design was?
To the chair?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Commissioner, for that question. We've been working very diligently with FEMA to make sure that we're complying with all of their requirements. And so the process is we have to kind of apply for an alternative way to make the repairs. And again, I referred earlier in the presentation to a return to pre-disaster. And so when we made the choice to go away from returning to pre-disaster, that kicks off kind of a new way of doing things. And so we have to provide documentation to FEMA, and there's a process with FEMA that you have to go through in order for them to sign off on an alternative that, again, and mitigates the, you know, problem of any future risk of failure to these facilities. And so, yes, we've been working very diligently with FEMA and continue to work with FEMA on those things through project completion in order to make sure that we stay in compliance with all regulations and that, you know, we're able to receive those FEMA funds. And again, those FEMA funds will not be, delivered to our department until the final project closeout, and that we've gone through the final project closeout and have met all of the requirements that were set forth in the conversations that we had up to that point.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Adam, just one. This is Commissioner Ressler. When we look at Lake Alvin, and I apologize if you touched on this, with the work needed, will it impact any access for recreational users on Lake Alvin?
So, Madam Chair, thank you for the question. I think there will be some light impacts. There will be a requirement to draw that lake down in order to perform some of that things. But just like what we did with Mina Lake and Newell Lake, our department is very committed to make sure that we're meeting with our stakeholders, local folks around that area, to make sure that they fully understand what it's going to take to make a project like this come to fruition. And unfortunately, there may be some short, intermediate type of things that are maybe challenging to deal with in the short term. But again, I hope we can put it into better context with the local folks and stakeholders that, you know, this really is in the best interest of everyone in the long term. It's we've got a facility that's damaged and it's got to be either repaired or replaced. And hopefully we can express those comments and things through the process of communication with those folks that we can alleviate any of their concerns with that and hope to just communicate with those folks that they're well aware of what's going on, because we do acknowledge that there are some impacts that will be there with the local folks. But again, I think we're looking at this more long term, that it's a lot better to deal with something in the short term kind of inconvenience to make sure that we've got a spillway structure that can handle the amount of water and the events that could likely happen in that area and prevent anything even more damaging that could happen if we don't address it. So.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions? All right, Adam. Very, very good. Thank you for all the information and the update.
Thank you.